What up, folks? We got ads. For nearly 20 years, Love Honey have been the sexual happiness people, working to make a fun, fulfilling sex life available to anyone. Don't just take our word for it. With nearly 70 awards to their name, there's a reason Love Honey's customers come back time and time again. It doesn't matter what your experience, orientation, spice level, gender, or size is, Love Honey has what you need to feel and be sexy. Their in-house design teams work closely with customers to create the toys, sexy outfits, and accessories you need for mind-blowing fun, whether you're riding solo or playing with a partner. I personally enjoy extended foreplay, so I'll be ordering a vibrator. And I heard it through the grapevine that the maniacal menace is into butt stuff, but you didn't hear it from me. Anyways, we're super excited to be teaming up with Love Honey to give you a 10% discount on your next purchase. Just click the link in the episode description to claim your exclusive discount.
What's up? Welcome back, everybody, to another edition of Tell Me a Joke, the Guideline of Chasing a Dream. I'm your host, the Maniacal Menace, Kyle Smith. Say the whole thing like a pimp named Slickback. How y'all doing today? Today, we got a smorgasbord of people here today, which is nice because I got my Zoom pod track and we able to get everybody on here. They're in the process of doing things, which is nice. Seth, Eric, and Cornelius. Did I get that right? There you go.
That's us, nigga.
There it is. Boom.
The sounds of the trap. Y'all got to excuse me.
This is every time you tell me to come out here, you be like, yeah, I'm in the such and such. And I'm like, is this the hood area? This is the hood.
I mean,
right?
It's always the hood, but sometimes it's a little nicer spot than others.
This is.
Like way when you come in the back streets.
Yeah, I got nervous around there. I was like, I think my axe is going to fall off. These streets are terrible back here.
The apartments isn't a cool spot, but then once you come in the apartments, you like.
I was very surprised by that. I was like, what is happening here? Yeah. It's always a happenstance every time. Yeah. Every time I come over to visit.
You gotta keep them guessing. You know what I mean? In my profession, the harder you keep niggas guessing,
yeah,
the more longevity and stability you might be able to create for yourself.
I see that. Yeah. You have a lucrative assessment going on as well. And I'm always amazed every time. I have questions, but then I don't have questions. I'd be like, nigga, all right. I mean, it works. It's family right here.
You hear me?
Yeah.
Entrepreneurship starts in the house.
Love it.
Starts at the family level.
Teach them at a young age.
If you ain't second, third generation with this, you just half stepping. You know what I'm saying? I'm third generation with this, or that or the other. Still got to keep y'all guessing about what we doing.
Right.
Just know that we generational.
That explains a lot. That explains a whole bunch, to be honest with you. it makes me a lot more comfortable about this whole situation. Every time I come, I'm like, how does this operate? I never ask questions about who's who or what's what, but it's like, oh, my mama liked this too.
Hey,
all right.
We just chasing our dream.
Yeah, basically, and that's exactly what this is. Dream chasing. This is what it's taking to get to where we need to go, to where we at, how are we going to get there? Like, how long you been doing comedy for, Seth?
I don't want to count 2020 at all, man.
No. Were you doing Zooms? Were you active?
I was doing no Zooms. I was only even halfway active in March. You know what I'm saying? I was giving my focus to a bunch of shit. And then come the pandemic, and I was like, well, it's my excuse. It's my time to sit back for a minute. But I started, like, really active in 17. Mm. So let's say 17, 18, 19, no 20, no 21. I'm 4 years in.
You passed the threshold. You're still able to write and stuff as it was.
Yeah, definitely did a lot of writing, a lot of pondering, a lot of questioning why this is my life. You know,
right. So you can't put that aside. You still You still had that going for you, so that's a good thing. I mean, 4 years is still good. What about you, Cornelius? Oh, Eric. What about you, Eric?
Yeah, I've been doing comedy 7.
Okay.
Myself, yeah.
Yeah, I've been in that. I'm about 8, almost 9 now, and it's gotten to the point to where I'm always questioning every time I go out now. It's just like, is this gonna be lucrative? Is this gonna be what's gonna take to get me somewhere? Because now it's just, I don't feel. How you feel about open mics, Eric? I mean, of course they're there, and that's what we gonna need to actually get. But how do you feel about doing more open mics than paid shows?
It's practice.
Right.
Paid shows is practice to me too. Cause it's just a different level. Like practice. Okay, like I compare it to a nigga that hoop. Right?
Yeah.
So, you know what I'm saying? You hoop. You play for a team. The ultimate goal is getting to the league.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So
it's almost like an open mic is practice, mm-hmm. and then a smaller show is almost like a scrimmage. Nah, it's all practice.
So the open mic, like the local open mics, that's, you compare that to a nigga hooping in his backyard at the house.
Okay.
Practicing his fundamentals, you know, tapping it off the backboard, all of that, dribbling, all that little shit. That's the house practice.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? A local paid show is, I'm saying, like the game for the team you on at the school, like the local,
oh, like the, okay, so like a home game,
a home game,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
So what's the away game to you then?
The away game,
show like road shows
within your state.
Okay,
you know what I'm saying, because like that's still kind of practice too.
Yeah,
because it really is. It's not. It ain't my ultimate goal per se.
And where is your ultimate goal? What do you see your ultimate goal being once it's finally there?
Shit, I want all you comic motherfuckers to have my motherfucking name in y'all mouth like the biggest dick your bitch ever sucked. You know what I'm saying?
That is the ultimate goal right there.
I don't really give a fuck about like regular people and shit.
Yeah.
Like funny motherfuckers. I respect funny motherfuckers enough to want them to always remember me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that in itself make me feel accomplished as fuck. Like,
that is a great achievement.
I don't give a fuck about. Now, you can make money doing all types of shit.
Mm-hmm.
So, I ain't never started doing comedy for money. You know what I'm saying? Like, I like it.
Yeah.
That shit, it do something for me.
Yeah. That's basically why most of us are here. Because I haven't met a comic yet that hasn't been, that is just in it to be like, oh yeah, you know, it's the cool thing to do. It was,
no, I do this because I'm a broken person and it gives me a place for people to listen to me complain.
Yeah.
If I could hoop better, I would hoop every fucking day.
Yeah.
Like, I would find some way to hoop. Like, I can't hoop as good as I can tell jokes.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, like,
that's how I can show niggas I'm better.
Right. Like, for real, like, that's what I like to do. That's what I feel like the average person can't fucking do. And it gives me sort of an air about myself. You know what I'm saying? It gives me sort of an extra confidence when I'm out in the world. Not just,
I feel the same way when you say that.
Fuck comedy, but just like when I'm out in the world.
That's
like
my hidden superpower.
Yeah, yeah. I watch Tropic Thunder. If y'all seen Tropic Thunder, remember Jack Black's character, little fart, the little Dave Portnoy.
Yeah.
And remember when he was fucking real fucked up and went that little red carpet? He was like, man, fuck you. You can't do what I can do.
Yeah.
That's how I have it in my head for most of the time. When I see people that aren't comics and it's like, oh, this is what you, hey.
Right.
Hey, yeah, I mean, you this really is can't. This is your profession and, you know, you fucking, you work somewhere else.
Weak-ass job. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? Exactly. Oh, you gonna put me at your punk-ass restaurant?
Right.
Like, my son can't skateboard outside your shit. Fuck this place, bitch. I bet you I'll make you laugh.
I bet you don't get high at your job.
Punk motherfucker.
Right.
Yeah.
I always look at it like that.
If I do good at my job, nigga, people are gonna buy me drinks. Women are gonna throw ass at me. And every random nigga is gonna wanna smoke a blunt with me. Like, your job ain't like that.
No. Like, you don't get that from everybody. That is an amazing dog as well. Just to point that out.
Yeah, Buckaroo. Bro, good job.
Oh, man.
Bro, hear that doorbell. He didn't seen him walk up to the doorbell. Then when they came to it, okay, now I can bark.
Andrew, nobody didn't see. That's what makes this whole little family situation right here. Because if you come up and you fuck up in here, I'm pretty sure the dog will take your leg back.
Oh, he ready. He really trained love well. It. He listens well. He do what he's supposed to.
And that's it's good that I have since after the pandemic, things have kind of me coming from New Orleans and then coming out here. Things down in the city kind of have switched to where they're doing more showcase shows now. So basically, our thought process down in New Orleans is let's try to get these comics money, because before it's always hard for comics to come up on their hustle, basically, and continue doing comedy, enjoying being able to tell their jokes and make money at the same time. I mean, most people still have their day jobs and all that, but for that to be happening now, it's like, okay, that's good.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure how that's... I haven't been out in the scene too much of that out here, so I'm not really sure how well that's working out in Texas, really.
Yeah, I don't know. What you think? Like, has it affected us the same way?
As what?
After the pandemic. Like, what? After the pandemic down in New Orleans, people started doing more showcases. Uh-huh. They're starting to do more paid shows. Uh-huh. And before, it was open mics and everything, which is nice. The open mics is cool, but the paid shows.
Niggas ain't breaking up bread out here like that. It's people making money. I'm not going to lie. Like, it's some paid stuff going, but I don't see no increase.
I mean, I understand that this could have been a moment where we all sit back and regroup and decide, okay, these are the rules we want to implement.
Yeah.
And we can really put these rules in place to create a new structure for our shit as a whole. Like, now we can work, we can go into these venues and we can be like, hey, you know, we demand at least, we need this kind of budget at least, mm-hmm. because we know that we can provide this kind of service for your place. Right. As opposed to just trying to find any place with no budget just mm-hmm. for there to be stage time. In Houston, stage time is largely treated as the commodity as opposed to money. You know what I mean?
Ah.
Stage time is treated.
So they're using that as their currency, basically. Yes, bro. Be glad that we gave you this time.
Yes, bro. Stage time is definitely like the currency and the commodity to behold, as opposed to the money and the opportunity that you're trying to create.
It doesn't keep the motivation though when it's like that. It's like, well, I mean, I could do the stage time, but like I actually came, you know, to see if I can progress from this, to see if possibly I can get booked on a show, you know, and see if there's more paid gigs in this. That's why I come to this practice, basically. And
like he's saying, a lot of people in Houston, because there's so many mics and so many opportunities, that's what he's people are using the stage time for currency, to be able to go, okay, I have the stage time. What do you have?
Mm.
What do you have to trade
me off? Mm-hmm. So. And
yeah,
a
definitely.
Lot of people attempt this, but when you attempt this, and just because you figured out how to work this situation, you haven't figured out how to get your material together. So when I do give you that play and we are out of town, and now all of a sudden that 15 minutes you had or that 30 minutes you said you had turns into about 5.5 to 6 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's because
you're putting in that. Yeah, so how's everybody doing tonight?
Too fast.
Make some noise for yourself.
Yeah.
Hey, single lady.
Those in between banters, because you ain't got
married lady.
Because you ain't got shit to say at that time.
Come on, fellas, where you at, fellas?
How long y'all been together?
LBGTQ people, I know y'all in here.
My name is Cornelius White, and my voice is deep when I'm on the radio. So I got
Joe Quiet Storm on the mic.
Swear to God, this is gonna close their eyes and swear you swore.
Hey, this nigga.
Nope.
I know this nigga gonna say his Instagram, hoping one of y'all get in his DM.
Nope. Whoa.
That's the black crocodile. That's the black crocodile on Instagram.
That's hilarious.
Black crocodile.
That is hilarious. That's good. It's good to have a dynamic of people. Last time I did this, I was in LA, and it was a good time. So it's good to have more than one perspective on the microphone, and I'm so glad that everybody can get a mic now, because this is how you upgrade when you decide this is how you're going to chase your dream as well and adding a podcast to your comedy. So it's just like, all right. I mean, it's working. Like, I see things starting to pick up now which is it's getting exciting, but it's like, you know, motherfuckers still don't want to tell you shit. Like, I still haven't been getting people to be like, hey, man, maybe you should do this or maybe you should do that. And it's like, I know I'm not doing everything perfect, but, you know, you got to start somewhere.
With people telling you shit, that normally turns into the issue with a lot of people. Some people, you just kind of got to keep going on your own.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it's a lot of gatekeeping in entertainment industries as a whole.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Everybody sees... For the most part, people see themselves that we all kind of trying to get to the same goal. And if you trying to get to the same goal as somebody else, niggas ain't, you know, as up to give you the game.
Right.
You know what I mean, is to give you the steps that they took to get to where they are. You know what I mean? You kind of got to feel it out. Niggas won't give opportunity to somebody that they see is as funny as them or funnier than them. They'll give the opportunity to somebody that got something going for themselves, even if they not as funny. Because they feel like doing something for that person is more beneficial. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's all about, I'm going to scratch a back that could scratch mine too type shit. Like,
yeah. I've been trying not to compare, like, the places I go to L.A. Because L.A. is terrible.
When it, that's like when it is. Like, I thought that's how it was put. That's just like it is. Shit.
That it should be, I came with the false gratification that when I get to LA, that this is the mecca of places and this is where I'm supposed to be as a comedian.
No.
You know, in my head, that's what I got. As a young comedian, that's what I was learning, because no one's out there to tell you anything.
If it's the mecca, then it's one, hard to get to, and two, it's hard to stay there.
Yes,
and people that are there understand that. When I'm in LA, the number one rule that I know to operate under when you're in LA is, don't tell a nigga you move there.
Yes.
That's their first question. You moved here now? You come off stage with a good set.
They
first question is, oh, you live here now? You out here now?
Mm-hmm.
And you better be quick. Nah, I'm just visiting. Or I'm just passing through.
Now you're going to be like the rest
whatever,
of us.
Right.
Yeah. But,
you know what I'm saying? If they see you and you just passing through, they, oh, how long are you going to be here? Or when's the next time you think you're coming out? Because they might have an opportunity for
right.
you. But otherwise, if they know that you're in the same rat race with them,
yeah.
they feel like that they running against you.
Learn
if they're not
the
in the
way.
Same rat race with you, then they might actually hand you a little smile opportunity because they see value in you
mm-hmm.
and they see how you can add value to a show.
Yeah.
How they might have a little following or however many people might come to this show and they enjoy the show more because you're on it, you add value.
Right.
But you don't live here, so I ain't really got to fight against this nigga now for gigs or for... You know what I'm saying? Stage time or opportunities where we really want to be. That means, you know, you're non-threatening to the niggas in the same way. New York is kind of like that. Ooh. Kinda, but not as hard as
LA. That's hard.
LA is for sure.
LA's,
you live here, nigga?
Yeah, and I got ostracized as soon as I told motherfuckers, yeah, I'm here now, and then it just disappeared after
no
that.
No bookings.
I was like, wait, what's going on? I'm part of the fishbowl now? Because at first, I was just looking outside the fishbowl. I was like, oh, I like that in there. And then I finally got in the fishbowl, and everybody was like, oh, you... Ah, nigga, start swimming. It's like, oh, no, wait, what happened to the fucking perks that I was having for looking inside the fishbowl? No, nigga, you here now. The perks are gone. It's just like Korea. Bitch, that fruit ain't real.
Some people have shown us, you know what I mean, that you can come from the small market. Like Ali Sadiq is in Houston.
Yeah.
And it might take, bro, a little longer to be in a position that people feel like success.
I love it.
You know what, though? Man, fuck that, bro. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it, man. Don't be pissed off because my mama did the same thing on my last podcast episode. And Larry was over there on my shit.
In the middle of the train of thought, my trying to give some profile shit about...
Interjecting into the whole mix.
Nah, nigga, we trying to talk about some profound shit. If you gonna come in with some game, God, be great.
No, she
but she
game.
Stand in
when
the room
game.
And just be like flatulence. What the fuck?
When I'm game.
So what? This is when you as the host go, this is real life, people.
Right. Yeah, definitely.
This is a real podcast. We talking and we got shit going on.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they all... people that listen to all understand that sometimes it goes off the rails. And not off the rails in a bad way. It always gets wrangled in. But, you know, people understand, hey, man situation.
I just took the mic from him, so He could talk back talking. He was seriously sitting here with this mic, like, I know.
But yeah, Ali Siddiq, though. Like,
I was
really into that.
Ali made it from this market. Yeah, it might have taken bro a little bit longer to get to the position that some people feel like is successful. But success is something that's subjective to everyone's own perspective. You know what I mean? Is he making money from comedy? Hell yeah. Is he providing for his family in comedy? Yeah. Hell yeah. Do people know him? Is he on television? Yeah. Hell yeah. That's success in comedy by damn near anybody's measure. You know what I mean? And there are other people that grew their name large in their own market before they decided to go swim in the major fishbowl. Like Ryan Davis. Ryan was popping his shit in Carolina. Like, he's from like Raleigh, right? Like, I think Raleigh. I don't want to speak Raleigh. I think it's Raleigh. But
Do they have comedy clubs out in Raleigh?
I don't think they even have a comedy club. Bro had his own little spot, his own little venue jumping so hard that it gained some notice. You know what I mean? People would come to Raleigh just to fuck with bro, and they not even going to a club. They just going to, you know, whatever bar that has enough room and a stage for something to go on. And he grew a following from that and, so, you know, used social media in combination to grow to a point now where bro getting bookings on all types of shit. You know what I'm saying? He's recognizable to a lot of people. His face carries weight, and he has his own level of success in comedy. You know what I mean? There are other people that are trying to do the same thing in their market without having to say that they're going to move to one of the big two or the big three, even Chicago. You know what I mean? I want to say that I want to say Lil Rel and D-Ray and all them niggas did the same thing, but they're in Chicago, and that's not a small market by any stretch of the imagination. Right. And it's also one of the larger comedy markets in America, in the same that we consider, you know, New York and LA. And in Chicago, there are comedy shows everywhere.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's a mic everywhere in all age groups and all groups and all social backgrounds. Like, you know what I'm saying? Comedy is serious.
That was one of the places I was told to go.
And also improv and Second City and all the other theaters.
Right.
And the infrastructure that they have set up for comedy in those cities. Like, you start with the classes here at this improv, then you go do Second City, or you do this because you have a writing background now. Now you go to these places and you perfect your craft. Like, we got Steve Carell. We got, I mean, a long list of people that went from Second City damn near straight to SNL. Mm-hmm. But they didn't go straight to SNL. They went to writing for one of these shows, or writing for one of the late night shows, or wherever else that they may have bounced around till they got to where they were ultimately trying to go. You know what I mean? Well, everybody's ultimate goal in comedy may be different, but I think that we can all agree a writing job for SNL, or being on SNL, a writing job for The Daily Show, or writing for one of the late night TV shows, you know, any of that is, if it's not on your checklist for a goal in comedy, you know, you might just be choosing another route. God bless you on that route, but that's kind of the route that's synonymous with making it. You know what I mean?
Writing jobs.
Basically. Writing jobs, heading those directions of getting recognized. Like a friend of ours from Houston, Ashton Womack, he got a writing job on The Daily Show for Comedy Central, like writes for Trevor Noah. He wrote the Emmys. With Trevor Noah hosted the Emmys, right? Whatever award show Trevor Noah hosted this year, he went with Trevor Noah to that, wrote his monologue and his jokes for that.
Oh, shit.
And now he's got a 30-minute special coming on Comedy Central, shit like that. That's a path some people take. Other people take a path that you just work the Chitlin circuit, and maybe you grow from the Chitlin circuit to larger rooms and larger arenas, and you just larger clubs, and then maybe even inevitably you catch a TV deal from a writing, whatever, and you caught your TV deal because they liked your stand-up, and that was a route from like the 90s. I don't really know anybody, you know, who's been successful in taking that route thus far. A lot of other people I know have been niggas are recording their own specials. You know what I mean? Record your own special. Y'all, Chingo Bling recorded his own special, his own money, sold that bitch to Netflix, made him a little bag, spread his name a little bit. Now you're getting bookings from that. You able to grow yourself a little bit from that. It's just, you know, building your platforms and seeing where you want to go and how you're able to get there. There are different ways to attack it, as opposed to, you know, back when it was move to New York, move to L.A.,
that was my only mindset at the time. At that time when I went out there, I was like, all right, this is where I'm supposed to be. This is what I'm supposed to be doing.
Definitely.
Got out there. I stayed out there for about a year to say I ain't had no job as soon as I went out there. But I'm an electrician, so as soon as I
can
got
work
there,
that.
Yeah, boom. And that was simple.
Yeah. I was able to. It didn't sustain
the cost,
sustain
of, the cost of living, that's, the standard of living, all of that's so it's different, so bro. Stupid. It's like you have a unionized job and a trade, unionized trade, yeah. and you go to these places and you still don't even really and make a livable wage.
What made it even
and you
worse?
Have to work twice as hard mm-hmm. to live. So how are you even getting to mics that you have to pay for because they have to weed out who's
and
serious and who's not? Yes. You pay for it, then
the
it's a lottery.
Shit. The dumbest shit bro. Ever.
Or you have to go the route like we were talking about early. You create a show. Now you have a little pool if you have a show right. that has somewhat of a following or at least somewhat of a respect with the other comics that are getting booked.
But then
so
if
now
you're having to create a show out there, you have to be in that area because
you have
some
to find
people don't,
a venue.
They
you have
the
to
valley.
Find a...
Don't nobody, ain't nobody came to
nobody
the
trying to come to this at motherfucking all. Coffee shop in the valley that you got at a mic all, at on all. Fucking Thursday night
no.
when they could just go right up the 10 and do something right here.
Right
you
there.
Know what I mean? Why the fuck I'm going way down to 405 to come fuck with you? No, not doing it.
Not at all.
You know what I mean? That's
the way it goes
in those places.
I hear y'all talking, and I have to seriously object because
okay.
my ignorance has pursued me to believe completely otherwise.
Oh, all right, I like it.
I was the moron who decided that I don't live in a city, but I'm gonna promote a show there. And I had people come out, and all the thing I have is funny. So I write my material, and I got my jokes, but that was my only logic and my only being into it. And I made
the
some
if
money.
You build it, they gonna come type of situation.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I've had some successful, and I've had some downfalls.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's a route.
Yeah, and that's a route that it's one of those sketchy ones because especially where I was at I knew like everybody told me I'm like all right if I do and yeah it's not gonna be the people that I expect to be coming out
right.
It's gonna be other motherfuckers
other people,
it's like
but at the same time like I said all I have is funny because see I'm not from Houston either.
All of these routes are really routes that you really just betting on your cell phone. You got it's
right.
whatever you believe
and
going.
And for 7 years, me and my brother to my left over here, Mr. Green, we've been in some places, we've seen some things, and we've like some sketchiness and all of the above. But look, all we got is you know, I mean, I know he's got his stuff, but yeah. Funny.
I could fight.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
I could fight. You know what I'm saying?
So, like, I get it. The business is the business, but
yeah.
Like, I believe in me, and I know that the funny that I have, it grabs the attention of people that have never seen me before, and they like it. So.
Yeah, I'm.
It's about translating those people, though.
Yeah, it wasn't the whole thing of just trying to. I knew I could get the people there, but it wasn't the people that I wanted to be there to come there because the people that I would like to come and support, they're not coming to that area. They weren't going to come to that area. But so I just went to the other areas, which was fine. You know, I do my thing, but things got. It's just LA, and things was stupid and rough out there. And I was like, all right, trying to sustain myself in a place where everybody trying to sustain, and it's like, I don't understand if. You gonna be able to make your shit,
man. The only thing I suggest to a comic that's moving to LA from somewhere else, bro, you gotta sell dope, bro.
Yeah,
you gotta find somebody
drugs,
in your
right?
city
you
who
sell.
Technical difficulties.
It's all right. Sorry.
Back to what we were saying.
It's a group effort, fam. A group effort. You know what I'm saying? You don't even really see a lot of the time behind a lot of the biggest names that you see out here, niggas that made it. Bro might not have been funny enough, or bro might not just had the work ethic to continue writing, or he might not have just had the skills necessary to continue, you know, toward the next level on the quest that he saw for himself. So he become your right hand nigga that write for you or that write with you, and that's your team you developing your shit with. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? And later on might be his moment in time, shit like
that's
that.
See, Shake and Bake, that's Talladega Nights.
For
that's,
sure,
man,
Shake and Bake, bro.
I've been trying to tell myself this whole time, and I can't just constantly try to do it by myself. It's not gonna happen that way. I mean, it can, but
it's
gonna be very difficult.
It's working
stressful.
Harder, not smarter.
Right.
It's just a longer path.
Everybody has their own path, just like everybody has their own idea good, everybody has their own idea successful, everybody has their own idea hard. Like, you know, these all things are objective to everyone. They're subjective to everyone's objective. Like, that's what it is.
Yeah, it's life lessons being learned, especially I just did some shows with fucking Terry Hodges and Coco Brown and remember I recently did that show, and
Coco was down here.
Yeah. She also did something on Sunday with the Trader Truth little thing.
She did Trey Day shit. Okay, that's cool.
So being on the show with them, it was really.
Man, that Trey Day. Trey, he do a lot for the community. That's cool.
He does a lot.
He doing a lot for the community, but he is missing a whole subsection of Houston when he do that shit, bringing Coco Brown down when, you know, I don't think he had nobody from the city on that shit.
Abby, how do you feel about that?
What do you mean?
Like, how does that make you feel for real?
That he ain't had nobody from the city on this shit?
Because motherfuckers do that when they come down to New Orleans. And it's like, well, who y'all looking at? And who told you?
Nobody.
Nobody.
Hey, if you don't like me, that's fine. You don't like bro, that's fine. Yeah. But we got a plethora of people. We have people doing all kinds of shit in Houston, from Houston, murdering stages, bro, across the country, bro. You can shine a little bit I know you to be a local nigga and a hometown hero. All that shit playing cool, but you got to hold that energy across the board. You know what I'm saying? You got to hold that across the board. I thought maybe even Jeff Shelley would have did this shit. Bro came seeing me the same day. Like, man, bro ain't reach out. You know what I'm saying? At all.
Wow. I always look at that. I'm like, man, what is your motive? Are you trying to really big up your city, or are you just trying to get the numbers in because you know what this person
pulls? Are you big up in your city? You know what I mean? And just, are you unable to see past, the, you know, where your industry, or, you know, maybe bro just don't have nobody tap his shoulder and be like, hey, we got this in the city.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't know. I can't speak on their behalf, but it just would be nice to see the city get a little more representation in those moments. You know what I mean? Like, it would just be nice to see more people that we see at a mic on the weekly. More people that we know,
right?
You know what I mean? That's been in the city for years, or that go on the road, but really still live here. To see them, you know what I mean, up like that—that'd be nice.
I do feel that because when that happens down in where I'm from,
they don't love you till somebody else love you.
They don't love you till somebody else.
You know what I'm saying? So you got to create you a buzz in a totally different, whole nother realm or whole nother.
It's just about what avenue you see.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
I hate to put this on wax, but I'm gonna put it on there. I'm not a large fan of the social media comedians.
No. Oh. No. What? Like fucking YouTubers and shit?
I'm not a large fan of you guys. I'm a traditionalist.
I'm not a fan. I wanna
see you in a room with people and a microphone.
I need to see you on stage.
Rocking that shit.
I need to see you on stage.
I need to see you hold someone's attention for longer than the 30 seconds of a video with your cuts and your aids of pictures and whatever else that you have, and give me something that came from your brain that, you know what I mean?
Be in front of a real audience instead of this social one. Them niggas be funny.
Some of them niggas.
I ain't gonna count
all of them out.
You can have a few that's had help.
A lot of times.
Some of them understand that they do need help, and they go get that help from comics. Some of them even say it. Like, I've had talks with comics, and comics have sat me down and like, listen, bro, if you're going to get on stage and tell jokes, let me help you or something. You know what I'm saying? Get something qualified.
If you ain't been on stage in front of crowds of people consistently for over a year, don't call yourself a comedian. Y'all ain't a comic on that motherfucker. Y'all more like actors. Y'all more like comedic actors on social media doing that shit. To me, just keeping it a buck. Because you normally portraying some situation or circumstance that you've laid out and you acting that shit out. You ain't just saying words that you've thought of that shit more like comedic acting.
Mm-hmm. Man, that's like telling
the LGBTQ people, they can't have the T in that bitch. You know what I'm saying? It's like just another genre of nasty or whatever the fuck they want to call it. Like, I feel like it's just another genre of comedy. And
it is. It is. And I personally like to say I love them slash hate them for the simple reason the crowds that they get are amazing. If you can do great in those crowds for a good 10 to 15 minutes, because a 300 crowd auditorium, that is a beautiful laugh. Yes. God, that's nice.
That is.
But I get it. They terrible when they on stage. Shit happens. But I like it when they let me perform and pay me. Shit happens.
Not all of them. Some when of you them, look at that, some that of that them aspect. Be getting wrecked on stage. I can't speak for everybody.
Now I've seen, I've
noticed too, the ones that's taking comedy more serious too.
Right. I appreciate
they
that.
They done stopped with the stuff that got them on in the first place.
The only two I can really say I ever seen really flame on a stage that got most of that shit from social media.
Excuse me. Thank you.
Tony Baker for show.
God, that nigga is silly as fuck.
Silly as fuck on the social media, but fire on stage.
Yes.
And Ryan Davis, same way. Bro got a lot of following from social media, but he was really running his room and shit. Like, you know what I mean? Them niggas also, they fire on stage and on social media. But a lot of these niggas that we see getting booked at the Improv who don't even sniff around the city for most comics, you know what I'm saying? And they getting a whole feature weekend or a whole headline weekend at the Improv. And them niggas really ain't.
I hate to see that.
It's man, like, them niggas really ain't got nothing. They finna go on stage. I've seen somebody go on stage and do Patton Oswalt whole shit.
Oh, shit.
A white boy with a bunch of social media following go on stage and do Patton Oswalt for 30 fucking minutes. Seen him on twice.
I see. That's what we try. That's what it is. I seen that's what shit needs to avoid it.
I seen, and I understand
things need that to be avoided like that. Needs to be avoided.
And I understand that the good makes the bad suffer. You know what I'm saying? But what's the stripper that Donald Trump had got in trouble with? What was her name?
Yeah, I remember that bitch. Sold out
Stormy Daniels.
This Stormy Daniels, man. This bitch sell out Stormy the comedy Daniels club here for whole weekend.
Really?
I was mad as
it's mad the following. As a bitch.
It's the following. It's not the time.
Let me open up for this bitch. Bro. I'm like, dog, I'm going to tear that bitch apart.
She got on stage and shat bricks.
Boom. And let me explain this unprofessionalism of me not having my batteries. In my fucking bag, I have a whole pack of batteries in my bag.
But see, we talked that shit about my mama earlier. Nigga went in that kitchen.
Right.
That tea in that cookie
tin. Ain't had no cookie in that thing. So
batteries of every shape.
All types of batteries in there. CD.
And I'm here to tell you, that is so helpful.
It's very helpful. Very helpful. Them little square batteries, yeah. You know, them little flat batteries, I meant to say. Them little flound, round.
One time she had a scale that had them batteries in there. And you know, you might need to weigh you some spices on your scale.
Yeah.
you
definitely need them batteries. But yes, that came in the clutch because apparently the chick that sleeps in my room got everything all fucked up in there. And yeah, that's how I put it. Oh God, she won't get this far into the podcast to ever hear that. So
I'm telling a joke on stage. Right now.
I love it.
That is murder. It's a very good joke, but I never want to hit my granny to hear me tell this joke.
Why?
Because it's a joke about like not celebrating your grandparents' birthday after they die. You know what I mean? How on social media a nigga be like, today my granny would have made 112, and you'd be like, no, she would not have made.
You gotta keep celebrating it.
You can celebrate her birthday, but why you still counting numbers, my nigga?
Oh,
why are you still counting? She at the gates of heaven, like nigga, they won't let me in. You still counting? Stop counting. And then it's a nigga who grandma smoked Benson and Hedges with
Benson
no filter.
Hedges.
No filter.
Oh my God.
Every other meal she ever ate was pork chops. The Lord took her at 77. This nigga still counting at 100 and something. Why, fam? Let her rest.
Hard throat.
Listen, she would have been 118.
This nigga corn.
Good with them numbers.
You got to stop counting. I don't never want my granny to hear me tell that joke because I love my granny. Like, love.
my granny. My granny came over here for my mama's birthday. We all sat around. My sister cooked. It was a beautiful thing.
She's still alive.
Yeah, my granny smoked weed. Big weed.
Yo, dad.
I'll call my granny right now. She will push up, and first thing is, you ain't smoking nothing?
It's about her being dead. So, right? Yeah. Right. That is pretty hard.
It's like how you. It's about her being dead and not celebrating her birthday as she passed and all that
if
shit.
If it makes you feel any better, I told a joke about seeing my grandma pussy on stage, and my daddy was in the audience, and he was like, "You was talking about Rose?" I was like, "Yes, I was." He's like, oh,
that was my first room, nigga. So, damn.
So disgusting. And my dad is a staunch Christian. He don't drink. Well, he just started drinking wine with some Kool-Aid for bed, but he don't curse. He don't do nothing. That he military.
This nigga so said wine that, mixed with some Kool-Aid.
Wine mixed with Kool-Aid. That's the only way. Yeah.
That's the only way.
That's the only thing they drink, though. Nothing else.
You should do some weird shit, like just get that nigga mad edible cookies.
Oh, my God.
Daddy, these your bedtime cookies? Only eat these cookies at bedtime with milk.
Honestly,
daddy.
Honestly, if they weren't in their 60s, I probably would do
that
it.
That nigga gonna have
if I was a lot younger.
Listen, for my mama's birthday, my mama been smoking big weed since she went to TSU in 1973. My mama been smoking big weed long time, okay? Uh-huh. And so for her birthday, I had a chef make an infused cake.
Yeah.
Now, at the party, it was a surprise party for my mom. All her friends, all of us, my, you know, nieces, nephews, cousins, everybody, we all there. You know, my aunts, we all know. Like, I was telling everybody, okay, this is the everybody cake. This is the special This is the special cake. Telling certain people, hey, don't eat some of that cake. Don't eat that cake. Don't eat that cake. Don't eat none of this cake. Okay?
So everybody is going to get told this?
I told everyone who doesn't need to eat that cake. Don't eat this cake.
Okay.
And I told everybody else, you know, this is our cake, this special cake, whatever, okay. Space cake.
Whatever. Right, right, okay, cool. Right, right.
So one of my mother's friends, who isn't a regular smoker, she don't smoke, she say, okay, well, I'm going to take me some of that cake, but I'm going to take it home. You know, I'm not going to eat it here and be high with everybody else and tripping. I'm going to take it home. She took her little sliver. I didn't say a slice. I didn't say a piece. I said sliver of cake to the house. And she got all settled in for the night. You know what I'm saying? Had taken her medications. Got the TV all ready, all that shit.
Probably soy milk.
Eat her little piece of cake.
Yeah.
You hear me? A little sliver of cake. 2 hours later, this lady done called the ambulance.
Oh, no.
To come get her because she having a panic attack and she high and she don't never felt like this. She even tell the people at the hospital, you know, that she done ate some marijuana cake and all that shit. And they're like, oh, you'll be fine. Just stay here and sleep it off.
Yeah.
Man, why this lady done lost her teeth?
What?
And during this whole process, she done lost her false teeth. She say she never found them around the house and she was too embarrassed to call the hospital back about having lost her false teeth. And she was just so glad to the Lord she had put insurance on them. She just went
you
on and
put
got
insurance
her
insurance on your teeth.
You can get insurance apparently on your
how
false
much
teeth.
Your teeth.
Your false teeth. Oh, a set of dentures are expensive.
Oh, yeah. I got a flipper tooth in my mouth right now. And that bitch, I paid installments on my nigga. Like,
do you
God
hear
damn.
So if you paid installments on a flipper, nigga, imagine what she paid on that whole set of dentures.
Okay, yeah, I feel you. I feel you. That was a crazy question for me to ask. I got a false tooth. I just got one. She got a whole set.
She was embarrassed.
A whole set? Yeah, nigga.
Embarrassed about that shit.
That's a grip,
man.
You got to pay right there.
That is some money that you paying about that tooth. She lost her tooth. She was so high on that goddamn space case.
I guess you're scared, though, if I ever lost this thing.
Yeah.
I'd be like, oh, man, no. I
nigga,
can't walk around
not,
with it
not
in.
You not talk no shit. Nigga, hit that thing. You swallow it. You mad twice. You mad this nigga hit you? Now you got to wait the shit out this shitty tooth.
I'd be so
get
upset.
Get it put back in your shit.
I'd be so upset.
Have a shitty tooth. A shitty false
like,
tooth.
This motherfucker was so expensive.
Oh, let's take a pause for a second.
All right. Boop. There it is. Hey, I did it. Producer. Hey.
Hey, we was over here chilling.
We can definitely shout out everybody if everybody would like to put their plug themselves, their Instagrams, and such before we bounce out and roll out. It's going to be a weird transition. Once people like, wait, what the fuck just happened?
Well, if you edit well.
Oh, no. I put it all together. I could put like a commercial between here or something like that. But, you know. I still, for people to hear or understand.
You probably should say the name of your podcast one more time, then.
Oh, Tell Me a Joke, the guideline of chasing the dream. You can find me on Spotify.
Okay, and then Miss Nietzsche just entered the building, and Miss Nietzsche going to say something real quick.
Oh,
You got.
I don't know what exactly I walked in on. You know what I'm saying? It's a bunch
of. It's in the podcast. It's a
bunch of party favors on the table. A bunch of. Black people. What?
Contractually, you're obligated to say that you're on the podcast.
You don't like balloons and shit. You don't like motherfucking.
Balloons, what? Decorations. That is a nice little.
What's the
a cornucopia of flowers out here?
Go ahead and blow into that. You hear it, Seth? You know, the little party favor.
I told y'all earlier in an earlier segment that he should tell y'all this is real life shit. This is what happens on Tell Me a Joke podcast.
RLS.
Not all the time. This doesn't happen all the time. But
oh, it don't. Just
what
niggas,
what y'all talk about out here?
Most niggas is usually on here, but
I'm a real nigga at heart, if that counts for something.
Basically, dream chasers. We all basically dream chasers and what it takes to chase a dream.
Chase dreams. We don't chase dreams.
Yeah, you out here chasing a dream, right? You're a comedian, aren't you?
Something like that.
Yeah, that's a dream. That's a dream right there. Not everybody.
I think nigga is, in this case, is more so a generalization to people with melanin.
Oh, you thought niggas was just dudes?
Well, I'm not, because it's a collective of gentlemen here. So
what
I didn't.
Oh, yeah, no,
right, okay.
No.
I didn't. No, that's.
Are you
not,
trying to say we had a sausage party?
No,
Nitra,
no,
damn.
No. Although it is what I walked in Nitra. On. Although
this
that is what I walked
is
in
exactly
on. I'm pretty sure y'all was in here playing
in
swords
on
before I walked in.
Nah. Dungeons and Dragons.
No. Boom. See, nah, look, Dungeons, I knew it. The one with the long hair always got something.
Listen,
always.
I feel personally attacked, even though I'm the shorter of the long hair here.
You shouldn't. It's a bang. You have a bang. This nigga. This nigga got a whole stripper pullover to the
though
side. You know what I'm saying?
It is to the side. You noticed the fuck out of that.
That nigga got the Mekhi Phifer and 8 Mile going on.
No, nobody has.
I swooped it today.
That's how these girls is
she
wearing.
She saw
they,
that.
They,
she saw I swooped
these,
it.
These
that's
little,
how most bitches' lace fronts look.
Right.
Like
Mekhi
Phifer and 8 Mile.
These little,
that's good.
What do they call the little faux locks
like
they wear them in the ball?
Yeah.
That's how Mekhi Phifer hair was.
Goddess. I believe those are goddess or butterfly
like
locks.
Locks, right.
I'm a thot myself. I
got
to keep up with a thot hairstyles because I myself am a thot myself.
Would you ever consider adding lengthage to your hair?
If I'm gonna add lengthage to anything, it would not be my hair.
Yeah,
it would be to my time on stage, Nitra.
Okay, okay.
That's what it would be too.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, you might.
Hilarious.
We live in a new society of where men are adding extensions to extend their lockage.
I myself for the bald delegation, bald niggas, bald niggas. You know what I'm saying? I personally want a dreadlock. A nice dread.
Say it,
I really want a nice dreadlock men's hairpiece, so I could just wear that bitch every now and then. And just, you know,
this nigga want to walk around saying "bumba clot" all day.
Slide up on people.
Hey,
and shit.
I know where you can. I know where you can get one.
It'd just be like $300.
You know what? Being that I rep the bald head culture for the ladies,
I
rep
it.
The BBW, the bald beautiful women. I represent for them.
I don't think
that's
what BBW stands for.
Fuck you.
I don't think.
Yes, it do.
That's what.
Okay.
Yes, it do.
Okay.
And if that don't catch your eye, baby, I am a big beautiful woman. So don't.
All right.
You still just stuck
okay
a B.
Right.
But all
right.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, I got butt. I got front. I mean, shit, nigga.
Butt and gut.
When I twerk, my ass don't move, but everything else do. Niggas, y'all just like to jiggle.
I don't know how you a BBW and an IBTC member. I don't know how.
IBTC.
Itty bitty titty come in.
Nigga, fuck you. These titties ain't itty. They may be little. Nigga, my titty's bigger than coins. All I'm saying is, we both.
For the first time.
I have
she
man
titty. She an itty bitty titty, and my shit,
I have
my shit bigger
titties
than mine. I'm happy about that. I've been doing push-ups and
I'm
shit.
I'm loving how this works.
That's how you get them off your stomach.
I bet Nitra got itty bitty titties, but the areola's so big.
It is, nigga. It is. Now, listen. I don't have itty bitty titties. I don't have.
Where's this going?
Please respect.
So much.
All right, I'm sorry.
I have a cup and a half of titty.
A
nigga
cup and a half.
That's 8 ounces.
She got a cup and a little spillage for you fellas out there
already,
listening.
Because my cup
go
always
ahead and drop
runs,
your
no matter how big
hey
it is, my
yeah
cup
oh
runs
oh
over.
The cup runneth over. Go ahead and drop that Instagram
everybody
so they know what it's sliding that DM.
Everybody
miss
dropped
already.
It.
Miss already. MSALREADY.
Already
slot,
fellas. The
where
DMs
can,
are open. She do
can,
currently have a
where
fella.
They can find
but he
at
ran his hand set across the
hey,
whiskers
hey,
the
hey,
other
hey,
night,
hey,
so
hey,
she
hey
might be single shortly.
Pause. I'm in a relationship, but I identify as single, sir. Please, please respect.
That's polyamory.
No, it's not.
All right, my bad.
It's polyamory when you being like for real. Like I'm trying to own my truth, and you know I've been fucking two niggas for years. I'm just trying to be truthful just about it.
Goddamn
like,
right. Hey, ladies.
I'm tired of telling the truth by omission. I ain't lying to nobody, but I do omit.
And that is 100 points for the city girls if you're taking score, ladies
real
and gentlemen.
Real ass bitch, give a fuck about a nigga.
You hear me? God damn it.
Well, that is new. I've been doing this shit for over 20 years, son.
See, she
you know
ain't
what I'm saying?
A city
Do you
girl.
Realize when
She's
I
She's a city madam at this point, ladies and gentlemen. That's
already.
A city madam.
I'm not really sure. I am in charge of the girls looking ass, okay?
Not
nigga,
really sure who
you gotta respect
to
my gangster. As fellas, I want y'all to understand when I walk my bald head ass, my BBW ass down the street, niggas say to me, I like that head, nigga. They been chanting that to me for 20 some odd years, my nigga.
Nigga trying to grip your head like a milk dud.
My head is now for the streets. It was behind bars. Now my head is for the streets.
For the streets.
For the streets. I get that head for the streets. I need E Green to make me a trick.
Fuck the curb, fuck the sidewalk. She for the streets.
Not the curb and the sidewalk. Nigga, I'm for the whole motherfucking
street. She fuck with them. She for the streets like them yellow things.
Wait, Seth, I have to stop. I definitely have to go to work now.
Okay.
Please, everybody.
Hey, can y'all follow me? It's E Green Comedy. You know what I'm saying? This nigga got to go to work and shit. But hey, it's E Green Comedy, baby. Follow me.
Ball head for the streets.
G-R-E-E-N Comedy.
Mine is at The Dope Comic on all social media platforms. My Twitter kind of weak, so y'all should follow me there. At The Dope Comic. That don't mean I sell dope. It mean my... Never mind.
Listen, I just want y'all to follow me on Instagram at the Black Crocodile.
Hey, ladies, them DMs
the
is
Black
open.
Crocodile.
The Black Crocodile. That's it.
That's amazing.
Man. My DMs is only open for business and sponsorships. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm spoken for.